And though I'm going to expound, or at least say a little bit about most of the early verses of Genesis 6, for a text, I take the words at the beginning of verse 3 of Genesis 6. My spirit shall not always strive with man. And we look about the effects of what's going on in the world today. And we hear God saying in his word, my spirit shall not always strive with man. It was so bad in those days that God repented that he'd made man. That's human language to give us to understand how he felt about it. And you wonder how bad it is now. When he looks at the things that are going on, when he looks at what people believe in the world as it is today, maybe he thinks that it's time to end, for the time for the Lord Jesus to return, and time that his spirit shall not always strive with man. Well, just by way of introduction, the beginning of this verse has seemed to many people to be very difficult to understand, and they suggest that one day angels came, fallen angels, and had intercourse with the daughters of men. It seems unlikely, because these were all people that are spoken of here. What we do seem to have here is the fact that, perhaps the first mention of the fact, that believers should not marry unbelievers. It was the sons of God, believers, saw the daughters of men, unbelievers, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. It was this mixture of believers having relationships with unbelievers, outside of work, if you like, that led the Lord to say, my spirit shall not always strive with men. There were giants in the earth in those days. I'm sure they were physically like that. But also, all of the things that they were able to become, they were mighty men, men of renown, and yet God saw the wickedness. They were fought through. Nobody's perfect. Everybody, however gifted, even in the world, is spoiled by sin. And God found grace, or Noah found grace, in the eyes of the Lord. So this is also about grace, the ark, and the salvation of Noah and his family is about grace. Now, we're looking at my spirit shall not always strive with man. I think the significance of verse 3 is that he would strive for the next 120 years. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Well, that wasn't what happened to Noah, and it isn't what happens today. It seems as if the meaning here is that he will strive with that generation for 120 years. Peter thought so too, under the direction of the Holy Spirit. So if you turn with me just briefly to 1 Peter chapter 3. Very interesting. I want to do this because it's covering one or two very difficult passages that people don't always understand, and I can use it as an introduction to what I want to say. 1 Peter 3 and verse 18, and what follows. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now here's the bit. By which, by the Spirit, also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime once were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Now we're told in Peter, in 2 Peter, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, not just a builder of an ark, but a preacher of righteousness. And here is something exceptionally interesting to grasp. Noah preached, but Christ visited hearts. Pray that it's still the same today. Christ went quickened by the spirits and preached unto the spirits in prison in the days of Noah. The spirits mean here the souls of men. Their imprisonment meant their enslavement to sin. Christ, in the preaching of Noah, went and preached unto the spirits who were enslaved in sin, and they were being disobedient when the long suffering of God, how long shall I strive with man, waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing. So Noah's preaching was Christ preaching. Christ was preaching to the hearts of that generation. Perhaps for the full 120 years, my spirit shall not always strive with men. And that would cover 2, perhaps 3 generations of those. So when Noah was building the ark, people came to watch, maybe they came to mock, maybe anything. But Noah preached to them about why he was building the ark, but essentially he was able to speak about the Messiah, Christ himself. In these early days of Genesis 6, can still be described as preaching to the spirits in prison while the ark was remaining, to those souls who were dead in darkness. And he went and preached. Was it for a full 120 years or was it just a little less? We can't tell. But how long shall my spirit strive? My spirit shall not always strive with men. And it strove over those years for a long time through Noah and made no difference except to harden their hearts. The only 8 that were saved among all the millions were in the one family of believers. And yet Jesus had preached to their hearts. Jesus had gone to their consciences. Jesus had ministered to them. He strove with men, but they wouldn't turn their thoughts to the living God and their need of him. So how does this hit us as individuals? The Lord may say to our own hearts, as he did in those days, preaching to the spirits in prison. He preaches to the unbelievers through the gospel. And we have to ask, and unbelievers have to ask, how long shall my spirit strive with me? And God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Of course, men get bitter with God sometimes when their experiences of health or their situation in life are not very promising. Where is God, they say? And even Job, who was so much loved by God and whose ways were so acceptable to God, when he was afflicted, he began to say some of these things. Look at John 14 and verse 6. The chapter begins, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh down forth like a flower, is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, we believe that, our times are in his hand. The number of his months are with thee, and thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him, that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. What is Job saying? Full of the pain, full of the boils, full of the afflictions of Satan, this man who loved God in his heart, yet under this intense suffering, pleads with God, leave me alone. Seeing that I don't have long, leave me alone. Give me a bit of rest from all this suffering. These things were to lead him to a full knowledge of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But when the Spirit strives with man, his natural impulse is to say, leave me alone. I don't want to hear. I don't want to know. I have my own objections. I want to live my own life. Try again in Job 7 and verse 14. It's not the only time he says this sort of thing. So you can see the persistence of his attitude. My spirit shall not always strive with men. And even a man like Job, under terrible affliction, may begin to react like that. And so, in verse 17, we can cut in there. What is man? He's Job here, and in all the passages we look at, is trying to process in his mind what's happening to him. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him? And that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment. I don't want you, if this is what is going to happen. I don't want you to visit me. I don't want you to deal with me in these ways and talk to me about the gospel and things. That thou shouldest visit me every morning and try me every moment. Leave me alone. Verse 19, how long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone? I don't want God to be speaking to me all the time. I want to live in peace. I want to do what I want to do. This is what men react to the striving of God in their hearts. Even the best of men when under pressure. And because Job was a saved person, God did finish striving with him. But inevitably, he will strive with some. And those who are unjust will remain unjust still when they die. And those who are unholy will remain unholy still. And once again in Job, just to see the force of this in chapter 10. Verse 19. I'll read from verse 18 to verse 20. Wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Oh, that I had given up the ghost, and no eye had seen me. I should have been as though I had not been. It's interesting, I used to use that as an argument with my school friends as the gospel. They used to say sometimes, oh, when I die, I'll go to sleep. It'll be just like before I was born. And I used to say to them, but you've had a life and you're accountable to God. You cannot now be as if you had not been. But this is what man does want to happen. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. Are not my days few? Cease then and let me alone. I haven't got many days. Human beings don't have all that number of days, but just go. Leave me in peace. Don't bother me. My spirit will not always strive with man, lest his heart should fail. He's also flesh. My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. So he strove with that nation. The Lord Jesus preached to them through Noah, to no avail except to increase their judgment. He strove with Job, but he knew that Job wouldn't fail. It may be you could say that Satan was trying him, but Job was believing that the Lord was behind everything, even allowing Satan to do certain things, and says, "Leave me alone." And it's such a way that men do listen. If they see the scriptures written on their board outside, if they hear somebody preaching from the Bible, if they come across texts, and it gets to their conscience at all, they say, "Leave me alone." Or if it doesn't get to their thing, they push God away. And the day will come when they'll have had their last chance. The Lord will not always strive. It repented the Lord that he'd made man on the earth. And he said, "I will destroy the man." And when God looked upon the earth, it was corrupt. For all flesh, Psalm 14 tells us, has corrupted his way on the earth. The Lord is looking at unbelievers, angry with the wicked every day, but viewing the corruption of the world and the corruption of the hearts of individuals, he strives to turn them to the ways of God, the ways of holiness, the ways of everlasting life, the ways of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. But he won't always do it. And he doesn't mean when you die. It means there will come a time in your life. Because all these people he preached to then, some of them were overtaken by the flood, but there would have been those who died during that time before the flood came. There will come a time when he will cease to strive. The gospel may be preached frequently, but a man may become hardened in it. God may cease to strive, may withdraw from him, may give him no further opportunity of believing because he has failed to take any notice of God and to be disobedient all these years of his life and all the things that have happened. He's lived in a wonderful world till man spoiled it. He's had a wonderful life, although he's not always been fit and well, and some things have been hard. But now he will not give God the glory. So God will not strive with him any longer. It's a terrible situation to come into. And people do not always know that this is where their life is leading. We preach the gospel earnestly, but people don't always listen. And it's not because of the folly of the preacher. Noah was accepted because of his faith. Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. He was a preacher of righteousness. By believing the word of the Lord that he was going to destroy it and to build an ark, he indicated his faith, which made him, as the letter to the Hebrews says in chapter 11, which made him an heir of the faith of Abraham. But not to have that faith, not to believe that the Lord is going to have us, bring each one of us to account, not to believe that the Lord wants anything from us in this life, or is prepared to love us and give anything to us. The day will come when he ceases to strive with our soul. It's a sad, sad event. The comment on Esau. He despised his birthright. And afterwards, though he repented, he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. The Lord wouldn't strive with him any longer. He'd done this thing, despising what God had given him by right. And when afterwards he wished he hadn't done it, valuing just for a few moments the things of earth, the venison, after he'd been hunting. And men still value the things of life that won't last when this world ends, however much renown it will give them now, or however much status it will give them now. But when Esau wants you back again, what he'd parted with, he didn't find the opportunity. He didn't find the way in which he could come. He was allowed by God to come back to the place he had before. He prayed about it. He cried about it. He sought carefully, with great care, all sorts of ways could he make it up to God. But he didn't find a way. The Lord says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Man should never strive with God. He won't win. And if he seems to win because God deserts him, then he has done such recklessness as will lead him to hell. We pray that it may not happen to any of those who hear this message. But do remember that Christ preached to the spirits in prison, imprisoned by their sin in the days of Noah, and none were saved. Don't reject the gospel. Believe the Saviour. Believe his righteousness. Believe the atoning power of his blood. Acknowledge that you are a great sinner and need his sinless perfection attributed to you, because your price has been bought by the Saviour. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Amen.